If you're happy, say amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk tonight on the subject, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It'd be impossible to cover all of that in one session. So I don't know how many sessions we're going to have to use for the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The Bible is the art, is the acid test. It's the Bible that we go by. We don't go by circumstances. We don't go by happenstance. We don't go by coincidences. We go by the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about what we're talking about? But I read something interesting this week. And if you'll recall, July the 8th, 1947. You remember that date? People witnessed what they claimed unidentified object that fell on a goat and sheep ranch out by Roswell, New Mexico, and they said there were four aliens on this spacecraft. They took pictures of them. I've seen pictures of them. I don't know if they were authentic or not, but that was in July 8, 1947, exactly 9 months later to the month. It takes 9 months to have a baby. 9 months later, guess who was born on that date? Albert Gore Jr. was born 9 months after that took place. Hillary Rodham Clinton was born 9 months. John F. Curry was born 9 months after that incident. William Jefferson Clinton, Howard Dean, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and Barbara Boxer. I thought that was real interesting that that happened exactly 9 months after that incident in Roswell, New Mexico. Now, we don't put any credence in that, but I just think it's interesting how that happened. I was thinking about this man who wanted to know what the future held for him, and so he went to a psychic, and when he got to the psychic's office, there was a door. There was a note on the door, and it said "closed because of unexpected circumstances." And so that's the kind of what a lot of people do, going to these psychics. Then I am reminded of Ed, poor Ed. Ed missed his wife's birthday 2 years straight, and she was irate. And she came to him last week and said, "Ed, this is the second time you missed my birthday. In the morning, on the driveway, there better be something new. It better be shining, and it better go from 0 to 208 seconds. And Ed didn't know what he was going to do. Sure enough, the next morning, she looked out the window. On the driveway was a new, shiny pair of bathroom scales. And so poor Ed, we want to pray for Ed. He hadn't been seen or heard from since last Friday, so you ought to pray for him. I was reading something this week, and I was intrigued by it, and I've read this before, but Victor Hugo, he was on the island of Guernsey for 18 months. And from that island, while he was there, he wrote a book called La Miserable. La Miserable has been on Broadway. It's a well-known play. It's well-known musical. And he was on that island for 18 months. Then I read about Daunt. Daunt was exiled from his home for 18 years. And he was on an island. And from that exile, he wrote the book Divine Comedy. And that book has been made into plays and musicals, and you have read it in high school. It was probably required reading. I read about John Bunyan. All of us have read about John Bunyan. He was in a Bedford jail for 18 years, and he left three little children at home. And he was put in a Bedford jail for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John Bunyan had a little blind girl, and he missed her so much as well as his other two children. And after 18 years, or right before 18 years, the guards came to John Bunyan, and they said, "John, if you'll just denounce Jesus and say you'll never preach the gospel again, we will release you and let you out of this jail." And John Bunyan was overheard to moan and to groan, and he cried, "Oh, my little blind one, my little blind one." And he was tempted to denounce his faith in Jesus Christ. Then finally John Bunyan said, "God forbid, I'll let the moth grow over these eyes before I prostitute my convictions in saying I'll never preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ again." And out of that Bunyan jail came the Pilgrim's Progress. And the Pilgrim's Progress has knocked on more doors and has walked more bypaths and has changed more lives than any book in the world other than the Bible. So John Bunyan was there. But there's another man by the name of John. He was on the Isle of Patmos. He was exiled there. It was called Devil's Island. And this John was John the Revelator. He's the same John that wrote the book of St. John. He's the same John that wrote 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. And he's the same man that wrote the book of Revelation, 22 chapters. He wrote the book of Revelation. And out of that comes the mysteries that changes the world. And the word Revelation means apocalypse. It means uncovering or opening up or unfolding. And off from that Devil's Island came the book we love so much, the book of Revelation. Now the book of Revelation, as I mentioned in the Greek, is called Apokalupos, which means unfolding or revealing. Let's look at the book of Revelation very quickly as I get into the four horsemen of the apocalypse. If you'll remember, the first three chapters were talking about what was, what is, and what is to come. Then the fourth chapter is the rapture of the church, come up hither. Now, I want to mention to you, there were not chapters, and there were not there were not verses, and there were not chapters up until 500 years ago. And 500 years ago, the Bible was divided into chapters and into verses. So the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation is part of the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Come up hither. Then the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation starts the tribulation period, and that goes from the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation to the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. In this these chapters from chapter 6 through chapters 18, that's a 7-year period. Any way you cut it, it's 7 years from the rapture of the church to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ at the revelation of Christ in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. So there are these chapters in the Bible that talk about the great tribulation or the tribulation period, and then in the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation period. Now, during this time, there are 21 horrific judgments that fall on this earth, and they are in 3 sets of 7. If you'll remember, the 6th chapter through the 18th chapter of Revelation talks about seal judgments, 7 seal judgments. Then it talks about 7 vial or trumpet judgments, 7 of them. Then at the very end, it talks about 7 vial or 7 bowl judgments that are going to pour out. So you need to see the chronology of this. The 7-year period divided into these divisions of the 21 judgments that are going to fall. First of all, 3.5 years, 42 months, 1260 days it's going to take for the sealed judgments to be opened. But they won't stop then. That's just going to take that long for them to be opened. Then in the last half of the tribulation period, 1260 days, 42 months, or 360, or 3.5 years on the Jewish calendar, there will be 14 judgments that are going to open up. It will take almost 3.5 years for the vial judgment, or rather the trumpet judgments, to be opened up. Then we get down here near the end of this 7-year period, and when we get down near the end, then the bowl judgments, or vial judgments, are going to be poured out on this earth in rapid succession, and they're going to continue until the end of the 7-year tribulation period. So this explains the chronology of the end time, or the chronology of the tribulation period. Now I want to zero in on this. The first judgments that are open are the sealed judgments. There are 7 of them. The first 4 judgments are the horsemen of the apocalypse, the 4 riders of the apocalypse. There is a first rider on a white horse who is the Antichrist. Then there's a second rider on the red horse, which is war. There's a third horse that is black, and he is famine. And then there is a pale horse, or corless, which we get the word corless or chlorophyll, a sickly pale horse, that where there's going to be war and hail that's going to follow him. So those are the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse, and they are opened up in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when one is opened up, it doesn't close when the next one opens up. It continues on. For instance, the Antichrist riding on the white horse will ride for 7 years before he is cast into the lake of fire at the end of the 7-year period. So he continues to ride while these others are opened up. So the first one is the rider on the white horse. That explains the age that we are living in. That lets you know, and that lets me know, that we are living on the realm of a rumbling volcano, and this world is getting ready to explode. I'm not a pessimist. I am an optimist. I'm glad that I know that I'm going to be out of here one of these days. Very soon, Jesus is going to come and take his church away. But if you watch the news, watch what happened in the world, in the United States, the last 2 days. Wacky weather. When you pray for those dear victims in the heartland of our nation. This wacky weather. Not only that, if you'll notice that, Netanyahu has come and talked with Obama. I haven't had a chance to look at the world news today, but I know that Netanyahu is not going to yield, and Obama is going to try to convince him that he is a friend of Israel. But I'm telling you that the war of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, is just about ready to start. So we're living in setting on the realm of a rumbling volcano. The 7 seals, now write this down if you have a pen. The 7 seals are divided into 2 divisions. They're divided into 4, which are the judgments on the earth, and then they're divided into 3, which are judgments from heaven. 4 is an earth number. We talk about the 4 corners of the earth. We talk about the 4 seasons of the earth. 4 of these judgments are from the earth. And then the other 3 are judgments from heaven. So the tribulation period will be in full sway when the rider on the white horse starts to ride. The tribulation is called by several names. It's called Daniel's 70th week. is called, in the Greek, it's called hiptath, which means a week. In the Hebrew, it's called Shaboah, which means a week. It is called Daniel's 70th week. It is called Jacob's trouble. It is called a time of sorrows. So that's a tribulation period is known by several names. Ladies and gentlemen, the entire book of Revelation, from the beginning of Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 20 verse 3, will be fulfilled during this 7-year period. Let me repeat that. Revelation chapter 6 through Revelation chapter 20 verse 3. It will be fulfilled in a 7-year period. Now the first rider on the white horse, is the Antichrist. He is the first rider of the apocalypse, the Antichrist. You can find that in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. When you get home, read that. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the rider on the white horse. You know, judgment is a common denominator between all four of the horses that I'll be talking about in the next couple of months. The judgment is a common denominator. I read something the other day, and this is digressing just a little bit, that the United Nations used to have a logo with a dove on it. Their logo was a dove. And they had it on their stationery, and they had it on their business cards. But recently they have changed it and they put a white horse. I don't know why, but they have. They've changed their logo, the United Nations, and now it's a white horse. In the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, it talks about the rider on the white horse. Now horses are known and are a symbol of strength and speed. Strength and speed. This may come as a shock to you, but there's only 50 million horses in the world. And there's going to be a 200 million man army that are going to be riding horses and are going to be coming back one of these days. 200 million. God has no problem with those figures. God can create horses. He can create whatever he wants, whenever he wants. So there's about 50 million horses on the world today. And they're always a symbol of strength and speed. The white horse that you see in the 6th chapter of Revelation has a rider. I want you to notice something very interesting about this rider. He has a crown, but he doesn't have a diadem. He has a bow, but he doesn't have any arrows. That is the Antichrist, and he's coming in on a peace platform, and the Bible says by peace he will win many. There's going to be a peace platform, a peace pact that's going to be signed, and the Antichrist is going to sign that peace platform, and he's going to come in on peace. If you remember, the Bible says when they come down in it from Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39, and they come down against Israel, it's the Arabs, it's Russia and her Arab allies that are going to come down on Israel. And what is it they say? They say, let us go down to those that have unwalled cities. In other words, they're in a pseudo peace. There's been a pseudo peace that has been signed, and Israel thinks that they are in for peace, but they are in for a great disappointment 3.5 years into the tribulation period. And so the white horse rider, he has a crown but no diadem. He has a bow but no arrows. He comes in on peace. He brings a pseudo peace between Israel and Arabs. That's exactly what Israel is looking for right now. They want peace. You go to Israel tonight, and on their bumper stickers, they'll say, come Messiah, that peace might be in our day. at the Willie Wall tonight. They are praying that they might have peace. They're looking for peace. And the Antichrist will confirm a peace pact with Israel, and they think they have eternal peace. But he's going to disappoint them and break his covenant with the Jews 3.5 years into the tribulation period. Now, here's some things about the Antichrist that's riding this white horse. He's going to have a computer file on every human being on this earth. There is a computer in Canada right now that can do 16,342 pieces of information on every human being on the earth in 1 second. Can you believe that? Over 16,000 pieces of information on every human being on the earth. That's 7 billion people in 1 second time. The Antichrist is going to have a computer file and a database on every human being on this earth. He is going to control the world's money. It seems to me like it is getting that way now. Your money is becoming useless, your dollar bills. About the only thing that's holding this old, it seems like, is gold and silver and oil. Your currency is losing its value. He's going to have a computer file. He's going to control the money of the world. And the Antichrist is going to control the food of the world. And it's going to be a world government and a one world religion. That's the rider on the white horse. People, the Bible says, people will believe the lie. Sweet Joyce asked me something about this yesterday in 2 Thessalonians, where it says, "For this cause, God shall send strong delusions that they should believe a lie." If you look that up in the Greek, it will say the lie, talking about the Antichrist. They will believe the lie. He is not only going to control the world's money, the world's economic system, the world's political power, the world's food, but he is called the beast. Not a beast, but the beast. The Antichrist, the rider on the white horse in Revelation chapter 6, is not a creator, but he is a counterfeiter. Not a creator, but a counterfeiter. He is not an innovator, he is an imitator. That's the rider on the white horse. Some have tried to use the name Antichrist down through the years. There's a man in Syria right now. By the way, watch Syria very closely in your news. They're being killed by the thousands of people are. That's a dictator. That man is a madman. And Assad and his father was a madman. And Damascus is right there close to Jerusalem, just across the border. And 3,000 years ago, the writer Isaiah said that Damascus was going to become a ruinous heap and cease to be a city. Just watch it. Watch it on the world news. The beast, he's an imitator, and he comes in the name of the Antichrist. There's a man in Syria right now that they say can call fire down from heaven. And when he walks into a lion's den, the lions will cow and bow before him. He is so demon possessed. Sweet Joyce and I, we were in South Africa. We was preaching all over South Africa. And somebody took us out to a reserve, and we saw these big lions as running wild. We stayed in the car, and all kinds of other animals running wild. Then we got to a place where they had a cage, and they took me into that cage and set me on a chair and gave me a baby bottle full of milk, and they turned a lion loose. And that lion came over. He was a lion cub, but he looked pretty big to me. And he jumped up on me, and I put that bottle in his mouth. And I said, take that picture quick. I'm getting out of here. And but there's a man in Syria that that lion was bowed down to. Nebuchadnezzar, way back in the Old Testament, there's always been these types. Nebuchadnezzar had an image made to himself. Called Genius had a golden statue made of himself. Anaxarchus Epiphanes had his name and picture put on every piece of currency, and he slew 400,000 Jews, and he put a pig on the altar in Jerusalem. Alexander the Great called himself the Son of God. Then we have people like Nero, and Nimrod, and Dominican, and Napoleon, and Mussolini, and Hitler, and Stalin, etc. These are people that were types of the Antichrist. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, in the world, there are over 100 men that say that they are Jesus Christ. And these men are making money like you cannot believe. This one man was a mechanic in a garage, and he decided he was going to change his name to Jesus. And he said, changed his name to Jesus Christ, and he said, I'm Jesus Christ. I lived 2,000 years ago, and I'm reincarnate. And now people by the thousands are following him, and they're sending him money like you cannot believe. Over 100 men in the world today claim to be Jesus Christ. Up to 1930, there were only 7 that claimed to be Jesus. Now we have over 100 in the world today. The shadow of the spirit of the rider on the white horse, the Antichrist, is in the world today. We see the shadow. We see crime and corruption. We see disease and disasters. We see famine and fatalities. We see plagues and plundering. We see riots and revolutions. We see wars and we see woes and we see wars. The world is galloping on the horse of the final phase of ruin. And the rider on the white horse of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which is the Antichrist, is getting ready to rise. I have people ask me quite often, excuse me please. I have people to ask me quite often, do you believe the Antichrist is alive today? And my answer is emphatically yes. I believe the Antichrist is alive and he's well. I don't think he's a child. I think he's a young man. Because when the rapture of the church takes place, he's going to step forward and sign that peace treaty. And then 3.5 years later, he's going to declare himself as God. And so he is well, and he's in the world today. Now the devil knows that he does not have, the devil knows that he does not know when the Lord's going to come or when the rapture of the church is going to take place. I think the devil has had people in the wings for hundreds of years. He doesn't know when the rapture is going to take place, so he has somebody ready. And the devil has someone ready right now to become the Antichrist. So my answer is, yes, he's alive, he's well, and he's in the wings waiting. He may not know he's the Antichrist, but he's in the wings waiting. If you look in your Bible when you have time, to the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, and the 36th verse, you'll find out that he will be a great orator. He's a beast with 10 horns, and out of one of these horns comes a little horn. And he has a mouth that is moving. Daniel 11:36, he's going to be a great orator. If you look at Daniel 11:41, Revelation chapter 16, verses 16 through 17, you'll find out he's going to be a great political genius. If you look at Daniel chapter 11, the Bible says he will not desire women. So I'll just put your mind at ease right now. Bill Clinton is not the Antichrist. The Bible also says in the book of 2 Thessalonians, he's going to be a great liar and a great deceiver. Now, Bill Clinton might qualify for that. But really what the Bible says there, he'll not regard the desires of women. That's what it really says. So you can read a lot of interpretations into that. He's going to be a clever liar and deceiver, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. After 3.5 years, this 42 months, he's going to gain political power and have enormous economic control over all the world. You can find that in Revelation 13 and Revelation 16. He will have control over the political and economic control of the world. The Antichrist during the 7-year period, this rider on the white horse of the apocalypse, the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, he's going to demand death for everyone who does not worship him as God. I just want you to know, I don't want to hang around and be here during the tribulation period. He's going to demand death for everyone who does not worship him as God. And you can find that in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 34. Now, Henry Spake, who is a spokesman for the Society of the Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication System in Brussels, Belgium, where they have their headquarters, he made a profound statement that's relevant to the organization and the operation of what they had and what's going on in the world today. And Henry Spake said, "We don't want another committee. We have too many already. What we need is a man of sufficient stature that will lift us out of this, and that we can hold him, that will hold our allegiance, who will lift us out of this economic morass in which we are fastly sinking." And Henry Spake said, "Send us such a man, though he be God or devil, we will accept him." That's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. People are ready for something to happen, and it's going to happen. Now, if you want to memorize this, or you want to write it down, whatever, or you want to buy the tape, because I know I talk awfully fast, there's a great contrast in character and in name of the Antichrist and Jesus Christ. Jesus is called Christ, and he's called the Antichrist. Jesus is called the Man of Sorrow, and he's called the Son of Perdition. Jesus is called the Seed of the Woman. He's called the Seed of the Serpent. Jesus is called the Lamb, and he's called the Beast. Do you get it here? Jesus is called the Truth, and he's called the Lie. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and he's called a profane prince. Jesus is called a glorious branch, and he's called an abominable branch. Jesus is called the good shepherd, and he's called the idol shepherd. Jesus is called the mighty angel, and he's called the angel from the bottomless pit. So the rider on the white horse in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation is the Antichrist, and he is ready to ride. Not only is there a contrast in name, there is contrast in character. Be careful how you use the name Jesus. Please don't use that name as a slang word. Please do not use it as a curse word. The name Jesus is holy and should be reverent. And we love that name, Jesus, the name that is above every name. Jesus came down from heaven. The Antichrist is going to come up from hell. Christ came in another's name, and the Antichrist is going to come in his own name. Jesus Christ came to do the will of God, and the Antichrist is coming to do his own will. Christ came by the Holy Spirit, and the Antichrist came by the devil. So there's a great difference in name and a great difference in character. Now, this may not mean anything to you, but it means a lot to me. About 20 years ago, I led a man to the Lord. And I had forgotten about that, and he stopped me in United Grocery Store about 10 years ago and reminded me of it. I led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And after I got through praying with him, I said, get your Bible and get into your Bible. And he looked at me and he said, I don't own a Bible. And I was getting ready to go to Hong Kong, and I had a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And I was getting ready to go to Hong Kong, and I already had decided to buy a new Bible. And I gave him my Bible. That was 20 years ago, and he reminded me of it 10 years ago. Yesterday, Sweet Joyce and I were standing in line at Cracker Barrel Restaurant, and this man came up to me, and I didn't recognize who he was. And he said, then when he told me his name, I knew who he was. And he's been to our seminar once. He travels for the government. He's an undercover man that goes into military installations, and they don't know he's there, and he travels for them. And I said, you still have that Bible, the book of Jesus, that I gave you? And that man said, yes, and that Bible is going to be buried with me in my coffin. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but it means a lot to me, the book of Jesus. Here's this man's card. He has a PhD in psychiatry. He is a brigadier general. He's a graduate of West Point United States Military Academy, and he gave me his card yesterday. There's something about that book, and there's something about that name, the name Jesus. When he prayed for me, he confessed Jesus as his Lord and Master and asked Jesus to come into his heart. So there's something about that name. There is the Antichrist, then there is the Christ. Thank God Christ led the flock, even though the Antichrist is going to try to scatter the flock. Jesus was slain for the people, and the Antichrist is going to slay people. Jesus glorified God, and the Antichrist will blaspheme God. Thank God the rider on the white horse is not my answer. He's not your answer, but the rider on the white horse in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation is our answer. And one of these days, ladies and gentlemen, this rider on the white horse in the 6th chapter of Revelation is going to be cast into the lake of fire, he and the false prophet, and the devil will be chained and cast into the abyss for 1,000 years, chained with a great chain. 1,000 years later, the devil is going to be cast into the lake of fire, which the Bible says where the Antichrist and the false prophet is. So that tells me that hell is a long time, and hell is hot, and hell, eternity, is a long, long time. But one of these days, after the rapture of the church, and you and I are in heaven at the marriage of the Lamb, and we're there to lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, and we're there for the judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat, and we're there for 7 years in the presence of the Lord. One of these days, hallelujah, God Almighty is going to look down on this earth and see that 7 years has expired, and the Antichrist on the white horse and the other riders I'll be talking about in months to come, that they're still on this earth. And in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, the Bible says, "And the heavens were open, and a horse appeared, a white horse, and on him was one whose vesture was dipped in blood, and he had a name that no man can name. And following him and on white horses, and in linens pure and white, were the armies of heaven coming back to this earth victoriously." We follow the rider on the white horse in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Would you say amen?